The praises that we shall sing this evening are Psalm 116, verses 1 to 7, beginning, I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. And then to conclude, hymn 253. How gentle God's commands, how kind his precepts are. Come, cast your burdens on the Lord and trust his constant care. Let us all pray together. O dear Lord, we come before thee, our gracious God in Christ, God of the covenant, God of our salvation, and God of all our blessings. We are conscious of how favoured we are, for we can come to thee through the mediator, wonderfully made known to us in the gospel, and we have been brought out to know our need, believe on him, and by him to be reconciled to God. We thank thee for the ground of our acceptance, always the atonement, always the perfect spotless righteousness in which we stand. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, putting no confidence in the flesh or in any other ground, any other object. We thank thee that Jesus is our all in all, and by him we come unto thee. Grant us the ministry of the inward comforter this evening, and may we love thee and worship thee, praise thee, give thee all the glory, and be graciously enabled as we hear thy word. Oh, for the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord making both of them, that what we hear we shall see with the eyes of our understanding, and receive thy word and message. Seal it to our hearts, make it effectual, make it fruitful, and glorify thy name, O Lord. We pray thee that the ordinance of preaching might be fruitful because wet with the dew of heaven. We come to thee at this time and pray for one another, although, Lord, not together physically in one place, spread out, confined to our homes, yet, Lord, together in spirit, and we pray we may be conscious of it, and that thou wilt minister grace to each one of us where we are and how we are. Pardon all our latest sins, we pray, with that overarching blood-bought mercy, and cleanse us and sanctify us and set us apart for thyself. We pray thee as a church thou wilt keep us safe, protect us in every way, enable us, Lord, for every new day, and grant us strength, wisdom, guidance, supply, and above all, the consciousness that thou art close to us. We pray, dear Lord, for our nation, that thou wilt be merciful to us in the midst of this great rebuke that lies heavy upon us. And we pray thee, dear Lord, for protection for people. Limit, O Lord, we pray, the number of infections and the death toll. Be merciful, Lord, to the bereaved, and be merciful to those infected and in hospital or recovering at home. And we pray thee, dear Lord, to speak to our nation and make them heed the voice of God in all of this. Make thyself known, reveal thyself, turn men's hearts to thee, cause them to hear the gospel. And, O Lord, we pray, open heaven and the mercy and blessing that we need. Hear our prayer We commit ourselves now to Thee. Be gracious to us, and we ask all these mercies, for mercies they surely are, through Jesus Christ, for the glory of Thy great name. Amen. Let us turn to the first epistle of Peter and chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we read from the first verse. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We are living in extraordinary times. We're largely confined to home, and there is now so much that we cannot do. Once we took for granted so many things, and now so many things are denied us. Shopping any time we wanted to, going out for the day, visiting family and friends, even for some, going to work, and of course, coming together for public worship in our building here. A tiny virus has put a stop to all that, and we do not know when life will return to normal. However, we Christians can see these limitations as a season when the Lord can bless us in new ways. Summed up in Exodus 10, verse 23, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The Lord is with us where we live, and he is our light and our salvation. This surely has turned us more to God's word for our comfort, and to edifying Christian reading for our strength, and to sharing the good things of God with others. Probably much more of this than has been before. And I believe we must be praying for each other more. And all of that is for the good. That said, it would be wrong to deny that this is an anxious time, especially for those perhaps living on their own, or who feel more on their own. It's an unnatural way of living, something new and strange, almost eerie, and a time when we can feel low in spirit or apprehensive. With this in mind, let us consider a verse from our reading, and that is verse 7. Of 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is part of the light in our dwellings. You remember in Egypt, The Egyptians had no light, only the Israelites. And in this sinful, dark world, the ungodly do not know the light, but there is light in our dwellings if we are Christians. The Lord is with us and can be this to us. It is interesting that just 2 weeks ago, on the 19th of March, we had our last Bible study and prayer meeting here. And the title of the address at that time was This Present Distress, from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And then the following Thursday, From Here to an Empty Church to You All, Our Present Confinement, concerning Joseph and his time in prison, and how the Lord blessed that and fulfilled his purposes through that. And now, this evening, the message could be entitled Our Present Resort, and has become three similar sounding titles, not by design or deliberately, but is just how it has turned out. Surely, dear friends, this is our present resort, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let us look at two things from this text. First of all, our care. All your care. And then secondly, his care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. First then, our care. All your care. A small word for a big problem. The current situation is creating more careworn, insecure, and troubled people than ever before. There is a familiar meaning to this word care. In the original, it comes from a word which means to draw in different directions, and so to be distracted and in a whirl about things. Perhaps competing demands. We do not know what to do first. All getting on top of us and becoming too much. I can imagine mothers with small children much more confined to the home, and perhaps father working upstairs in his study, working from home, not being able to go to his place of work, the children playing up, the mother becoming stressed and overwhelmed. Care. The same word is used in Luke 10 and verse 41, where our Lord says to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. So it can be that. And by extension, it can mean a burden. Your care. A concern that has become a weight weighing us down. We feel it. We're bowed down. It saps our strength and joy. Summed up in the New Testament by the phrase, the cares of this life. Sometimes it's more personal, and we are in such a state that we echo the words of Job 7 verse 20, I am a burden to myself. Each of us has his or her own care. All your care. Because we are all different. As people, we are not the same. Nor are we in the same circumstances. Certain things may get to us, but don't get to others. Other things get to them and don't get to us. What is your concern? Your great care or cares? At this time, it could be the general situation. How humbling for our nation is the present state of things, and for the nations of the world, We believe the Lord is speaking to us by this visitation. Someone has perceptibly put it like this. We have ignored God's commandment to observe a day of rest, and now the entire world is quiet. We have abused human interaction, even to the point of redefining marriage, and now we must all observe social distancing. Society came to regard the family unit as old-fashioned and dispensable. Now governments enforce lockdowns, preventing interaction with anyone other than those within households. Burials are taking place without funerals in countries which sent millions of the unborn into eternity without so much as a coffin, much less a funeral. None of us deserve the least of God's mercies. In fact, none of us can claim we deserve anything other than judgment. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And we pray that the message of the gospel will become even more relevant and fruitful in these uncomfortable days, and that God in his sovereign dealings will turn men's hearts to Christ. But this is a solemn and disturbing and even frightening time for some, for many. Your care, all your care. So it's our care. But let's look most particularly, secondly, at his care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And this second care is a different word from the first. And it means interest, concern, something that matters. And you'll notice that as it is applied to our dear Lord, it's in the present tense. He careth for you. In the present continuous tense. It's not that he used to, and that this situation now has somehow changed that. It's not that he will do, and that his care is suspended until a hopefully better time. No, no. But he does care. He careth for you. This is the heart of Christ toward us here upon earth. And it means a kind and wise interest in us, intense attention paid to us, forethought, looking after us. And so, dear friends, all the time you struggle with your care, he is caring for you. Do you get that? All the time you are struggling with your care, his care is toward you, unchanged. He careth for you. Literally, it can be rendered, with him there is care about you. Now, ironically, this is something that Peter mentioned once, this very Peter who wrote this epistle, when he was in the boat with the Lord Jesus and the other disciples, the storm on the lake and the winds blew up, buffeted the boat, and the waves came and the boat began to fill with water, and those men were terrified and they came up to Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's the same word. Of course he cared. And he only had to say, peace, be still, and all was calm. Sometimes we're driven, maybe, through the devil's suggestions and our own unbelief to think, does he not care? When all the time, he is caring. He careth for you. And we can go to him, casting all your care upon him. Of course, this is referring to the deliberate practice of praying. You cast your care upon the Master when you tell him all about it. Now beware that in the midst of our cares, especially the more extreme kind, we can think we are praying when actually all we're doing is panicking out loud, rather like Peter in the boat. Carest thou not that we perish? He wasn't really praying. Well, at least he knew the one to go to. But there wasn't real prayer in that. And we need to be careful that we don't end up like that. Because it's important that we really and deliberately tell the Lord about it and offload that care onto him. And there is a difference between hastily blurting things out and deliberately and consciously speaking to him and telling him about these things and sharing it all with him. It's illustrated in Luke 19 and verse 35. There we have the prelude to the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they bring a colt, a young donkey, to the Lord Jesus. And he's going to ride into Jerusalem. But first of all, the people take off their outer garments. And they want to make a comfortable saddle for this, for our Lord who is to ride on this animal. And so they cast their garments upon the colt and they set Jesus thereon. And that word cast their garments on the animal is the same word as here, casting all your care upon him. And the point is this, you see, that the outer garments were now no longer on the people, but elsewhere, and they felt lighter for it. And dear friends, we must do that with our cares. We cast them upon Jesus, and we lose the weight of them ourselves. It's a wonderful consequence of real prayer, that that's the effect it has. It's taught us in Psalm 37, and verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. In the margin it says, roll thy way upon the Lord. Something that's heavy, we're carrying, that's proving too much for us, but offload it, roll it onto him by telling him about it, sharing it with him. And even you have the liberty to even complain to him and say, it's proving too much. It's getting more than I can bear, not complaining of him, but to him. And being that frank and that honest, and he respects and allows that kind of liberty. And get rid of that load upon the only one who can carry it and help you with it. Psalm 55 and verse 22. And it's perhaps this verse that is in the apostle's mind as he coins his particular version, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That verse in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So you see, it's telling him. It's offloading by that means. Real prayer has this lightening effect, this liberating effect, this wonderful consequence that we can think to ourselves that I've told him all about it. He's listened to my cry, and now he has the burden. He has all my care, and I believe he will come in for me and help me and do something about it. You see, nothing is excluded. All your care, whatever it is, nothing is too small or silly to tell him about. Do not keep anything back. As an old writer put it, it is our work to cast care. It is God's work to take care. care. Nothing excluded. You can tell the Lord what you couldn't tell another human being. You can be frank and full and comprehensive in it all. And you say to me, well, sometimes I can't form my words. I can't express how I feel. Well then, dear friends, say what you're able to say. Because with all our lack of eloquence and all our lack of being able to frame things clearly and properly, the Lord reads the heart, doesn't he? He reads our heart as he listens to our prayer. And if the words, either spoken or unspoken, are not helping us, that doesn't matter, because he knows what we mean and he can interpret them perfectly well. Sometimes we are in such a state with our care upon us that we can't even seem to pray anything. But remember, in the case of Hezekiah, when he said in his desperate plight in Isaiah 37, he said, I was like a bird with my chattering and a dove with my mournful voice. He felt he couldn't say what was really on his heart. But what did the Lord say to Hezekiah when he had answered his prayer or was going to answer his prayer? I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. And the tears had a voice that spoke more eloquently than anything that could be said. And my dear friend, it's not enough to cry. Any ungodly person can cry. But the thing about we Christians is, we cry to the Lord in his presence. And at least if it's directed to him, then that is a kind of praying and a casting our care upon him. And he'll read and interpret your heart. He will see those tears and he will be gracious unto the voice of your cry. That's his care. He careth for you. And the result surely is that it brings peace. Casting on all your care upon him. And now it's his concern. Now it's his responsibility. And you can look forward to seeing what he will do about this matter you have brought to him. And there is a peace that follows. It's the same as what is taught in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 that we were looking at last Lord's Day evening, where, and it's the same word again, be careful, our problem, full of care, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And again, there is implied the lack of being rational sometimes, like we find ourselves being. But you see, this peace of God, it passes understanding. Something beyond and bigger than what we can really comprehend. It's a marvelous and wonderful calm in the soul that comes as a result of praying to the God of peace. And he grants us an answer of peace. He may not change the situation immediately. He'll change us though, and we'll feel comforted, and we'll feel helped, and we'll be steady, and we will be calmed. all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Have you heard of Wesley's cow sermon, as it's been called? The story goes that he and a man were walking through a field one day, and the man was overwrought with care, and he was sharing it with Mr. Wesley. And he said to him, "I just don't know what I'm going to do with all my fears and all my cares." And just then they were passing a wall, and a cow was looking over the wall. And Wesley said to his friend, he said, "Do you see that cow there? Why do you think she's looking over the wall, over the stone wall?" And the man said, "I don't know." And he said, "Because she cannot look through it." And that's what you must do. You can't see through your burdens and cares, but you must look higher and over them and look to him who careth for you and cast all your cares upon him. This question of looking higher, it's in Job chapter 22 and verses 26 and 29. There at the end of that chapter, Eliphaz the Temanite, he puts it like this, though it wasn't quite true in its application to Job, there certainly is truth in it, where he says, "Then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God, higher than the stone wall." Lift up thy face unto God. And then verse 29, "When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person." So you see, look to God, cast all your care upon him, your burden upon him, and being cast down will find there is lifting up. He shall save the humble person. And that connects, doesn't it, with another verse in this chapter, the previous verse. "God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now we can come thus far, and as we draw to a close, we can still be left with a remaining problem. We are so very conscious of our care. We have been helped at the thought of his care and been able to cast our care upon him, trusting to his care of us. But having found relief, we find that it's not long before we begin to think about our cares again. And the peace doesn't last. And we begin to have those thoughts and reminders of it all. And we begin to get burdened and weighed down and overcome. What do we do then? Well, there's only one remedy. We've got to let it make us cast it upon him again. Maybe that's behind Psalm 116 in verse 7. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." We get rest, but then we lose it. Well, we've got to return to that rest and the bountiful dealings of the Lord. And so tell him again. Do it again. Look to him again. The first time these thoughts begin to come and we feel their weight once more and we're getting affected adversely by them, again cast all thy care upon him, believing that he careth for you. And if you keep doing this, you will eventually get peace. Because who is it who is behind all these wretched reminders of our cares that we've got a temporary peace about through prayer? Who is it that brings them to our minds again? It's the devil, isn't it? Who loves to accuse us and trouble us and torment us and wear us down. And he wants to undermine our peace. And he would destroy it if he could. And often he succeeds with us. Well, dear friends, it works like this. If every time he brings these things back to you, and you become affected by it, and your response is to pray to the Lord, and cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If this is what's happening every time the devil comes back to you with your cares, and he's only sending you to the Lord afresh with those cares, he's only going to do that so many times, isn't he? Because the last thing he wants to do is make you pray and send you to the Lord's presence. And so eventually, if every time he makes you pray, eventually he will give up and he'll leave you alone and you will be left in peace and you will have got the victory. So don't give in to returning cares and burdens. Give them to the Lord again, and therefore you will resist the devil and he will flee from you. There was a man in the time of the Reformation who actually was martyred for the Protestant faith. He was called John Careless, and he was beset by these very things, as you can imagine. But this is his testimony. This is what he said, writing in a letter to a friend. I will now with you sing away care, for now my soul is turned to her old rest again, and hath taken a sweet nap in Christ's lap. I have cast my care upon the Lord which careth for me, and will be careless according to my name. And dear friends, it's for each one of us to live up to that. For that could be a good name for us in the right sense. Careless. Our care is a very, very real thing. We don't deny it. But his care is real, infinitely more so. Powerful, beautiful, gentle, effectual, ever-present. Let us go to him and let us cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. And if this is the light we have in our dwellings, then we have been blessed indeed. May the Lord make it so for the glory of his name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray together. O gracious God, our Father, look upon us in thy fatherly pity, for thou knowest our frame, thou rememberest we are dust. But we thank thee that thou hast crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for giving us thy dear Son, thou the burden-bearing God, and he, the beloved of our souls, who can carry all our burdens, even as surely he has carried all our sins and all the condemnation that we deserved. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art not one who leaves his people overwhelmed and helpless, wretched and miserable. Deliver us, O Lord, we pray, and grant us that victory and that peace. Comfort and strengthen our hearts. Be with us at the most difficult of times. And may we prove the truth of thy word and thy great faithfulness and thy wonderful sufficiency. Hear our prayer and bless us each one and all who hear this word, we pray. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Mm.